Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the Roka Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav back after, well, what was pretty miserable. I'm talking to you at about 10:30 on the night of the Huddersfield defeat. And I know that we haven't spoken to you since before the international break. And I wish I was sitting here with a bit more oomph in my voice and a bit more something, I don't know, a bit more pleasant to be talking about. But unfortunately, we've lost the last two games against teams that I think most fans would have said prior to both games that we probably should have beaten them. And yeah, unfortunately, we have to talk about it. And if you make it all the way through this podcast, then good on you, because hopefully we make some salient points. Hopefully we talk about some things which bring a bit of clarity to what's going on. But it isn't great to be sitting here so close to a defeat. But yeah, anyways, joining me tonight is Martin. Hiya, mate. It's always good to talk to you, Martin, regardless.
Hello, Gav. Yeah, well, I reckon that's the best bit of the whole thing, isn't it? Because apart from that, there's not a great deal of good to talk about at present. So, yeah, interesting time. No.
Very interesting. And I feel so despondent just because that was so hard to sit through. It's the first time I felt like that in a long, long time. Long, long time. It was cold. It was miserable. The best part was going to the pub before the match and having a couple of beers, because pretty much everything after that was just so poor. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice, just so flat, so disappointing. And it's not something I've become accustomed to with this team. But I don't know about you, Martin. I was expecting a reaction after the Plymouth game, because we kind of had a little chat with you after that. And, you know, there were aspects of it which I was really disappointed with, but parts of it where I thought we were all right at times. I never felt like we were all right against Huddersfield. I just felt so deflated watching it. It felt like, the best thing I can compare it to is back when we were in the Premier League and we would have, you know, like third round cup ties against lower league teams coming to the Stadium of Light in a sort of half full stadium on a cold night in January or whatever. It felt a bit like that. It just didn't feel like any of the players were up for it. I don't really think the fans were up for it, but it's hard to get up for something when it's so cold. But it was, you know, with the players, you want them to give you something to get off your chair and get excited about. And that was about as flat as I've seen something under Tony Mowbray. Nothing worked. And yeah, you can hear it. Just I'm really disappointed. I'm really gutted, actually. You know, I kind of took the Plymouth game on the chin, but tonight I'm just flat as a fart. That was really poor.
I was expecting a reaction and a response like you were. And, you know, I think when you look at Saturday's game, we had periods of the game where we you know, we dominated, but we actually attacked with purpose and we created a few chances and all that sort of stuff. Today, it was just dire. Like, you know, we held on to the ball, we had possession. And look, if you look at the stats, like, you'd think we were unlucky. Like, we had 27 shots, allegedly. 9 shots on target, but
yeah,
you know,
well,
I can't remember any of those really testing the goal.
We were just talking about that, weren't we? I heard Gary Bennett on the radio demanding that Simon Pride gave him, you know, the examples of the 9 shots on target we had, because I can't remember more than a handful.
Well, you can go through the chances that we had, because it won't take very long for decent chances, will it? There was a free kick from Clark.
Yeah.
In the first half, there was 09's goal. There was Pritchard's free kick towards the end. There was the curler that Hume had. And after that, I'm kind of struggling to think of anything meaningful.
The Job one-on-one, which was, you know, probably the biggest chance.
Job one-on-one, which is, you know, is a real turning point in the game, isn't it? But if we're relying on an 18-year-old to come up with the goods as being the reason why we win or lose, we're doing something wrong completely. And like we had so much bloody possession. You know, if you, again, looking at the stats, we had over 700 passes and they had just over 200. But possession counts for nothing if we're not doing something with it. And as you say, we had a chat after the Plymouth game and kind of said, you know, if he makes a couple of changes, you know, gets Ashish into the team and gets that little bit more creativity, we're kind of on the right track. We're not too far from having a team that can go out and score 3 or 4 goals. Today, we seem to just go 3 or 4 steps back. It was turgid. There was absolutely no aggression in the team. There was no... They didn't seem to be up for it. And
they didn't.
Whether it's the weather, whether it's whatever it is, I don't know. But it's a real concern because if you look at the last, what, 6 games that we've had, right? So, the last 8 games. If you look at that, since we've gone on this sort of iffy run, so end of September, early October, we'd beaten QPR, beaten Blackburn away, beaten Sheffield away, beat Watford at home, had a defeat against Cardiff, and we're on the right track. We'd come off that brilliant win against Southampton at home. Since the Borough game, we've played 8 games, won 2 of them, and those 2 at home against teams who are right down the bottom of the table there, Norwich and Birmingham, teams that you expect to beat. And, you know, I know it's only a small small field to base that on, but that's 8 games, which is, what, just under a fifth of the season. Play that out over a full season, we've got 40 points and we're relegated. So it's fact to say at the minute, in the last 8 games, we're in relegation form. And the most concerning thing for me, right, is that form. If you look at the teams that we played, Borough, who are currently 10th, Stoke, 17th, Leicester at top, fair enough, but Swansea 18th, Plymouth at 20th, Huddersfield 21st. It's not as if we've had that fixture list against a team who are in the games against playoff teams. We've been playing teams that if we've got any aspirations at all of finishing top half, never mind playoffs, we've got to beat or take points off. And we are in such bad form at the minute. And, you know, you don't know where to change it because we haven't got a ton of injuries. It's not as if we're sitting here going, oh, well, once we get Ross Stewart back, it'll be all right. Once we get Ballard back, we'll be all right. We're not in that position. And if you flick back to this time last year, I think we had a similar sort of run after the initial sort of set of results Mowbray had. We had a poor run where we'd only taken a few points, but Ballard was out and Stewart were out. This time we've actually got no excuses. He's got a deep squad, a fully fit squad, you know, bar Corey Evans and a couple of others. And we're in absolutely dire form in terms of results.
Yeah.
And, you know, the danger for me is that, you know, you've got such a young squad and I'm on board with that. I think you've got to have a little bit of experience chucked in there to guide them along and help them through bits. But their heads are going to drop and you can see it tonight, the heads dropped. And, you know, you've got a manager there who's chucking 4 subs on. Like, his subs are just Russian roulette. It's just like, see what happens. We'll chuck them on, see what happens. And they haven't affected the game at all this season.
Never works. I was trying to wrap my brains before about when the last time it worked was, and I'm thinking like Redden last season when he made a raft of changes it's like when things aren't going our way, plan B is just make 4 or 5 subs. It never works. I just sighed and rolled my eyes when he did it because I just think it's not going to work. It never does. And I think you're right. I was trying to put my finger on this earlier when I was coming back from the match, just sort of what it is. And I don't know, were we more driven towards a common goal when we had less players to pick from because everybody knew their jobs and it was like, right, we've got, you know, one defender, we've got a fullback, let's make it work. Whereas now he's got so much choice, he's just not getting it right in terms of the selection. I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest, Martin, I think a big part of the, you know, keeping the ball's great, but you've got to pass with purpose sometimes, and we aren't doing that. And I think a big, big part of that is the complete lack of width we get from fullback. We haven't had a left back all season, you know, and I actually think, you know, Huggins in particular has done a really good job of covering that position. But you need a left-footed left back and a right-footed right back, and you need them getting, particularly when you've got players like Clark and Roberts where they like to drift inside and they like to get on the ball and runner players, you need to have people running beyond them. Now, for as this run of games, really, and really the majority of the season, we just haven't had that. And I worry that that's being overlooked as a big issue, is that we don't have a left-back, and we can't do much about that because they're both injured, and Sirkin's pulled up again and whatever. I don't know how far away he is. But you can't look past that. And I would love to know the thinking behind dropping Huggins for this game, because to me, in the last mini run of games, he's been one of the bright sparks. He was man the match against Birmingham. He was one of the better players against Plymouth. He drops him for Sealth, who's playing right-back, who's never going to be a right-back. He's a big lad. He's a centre-half. Not particularly great at moving with the ball like you would expect a fullback to do, and he struggled to really impact up the pitch. And I just thought it made us very narrow and compact, which played into Huddersfield's hands. They wanted us to do that. They wanted us to pass it around the box. You know what I mean? And then when he made the changes, we still brought no width on. We brought Barr on. We brought Dak on. We brought Pritchard on.
Yeah,
it was just lacking in sense and ideas. And I've been quick to praise Tony Mowbray for a lot of things, you know, over the time he's been here. And I think his experience has helped us more than it's hindered us. But I expect an experienced manager to notice these things and be able to remedy them. And I just didn't get a lot of the thinking behind some of his decisions in this game. And it's been like that for a couple of weeks, to be honest. So, you know, what do you put down as the cause of... Because you just pointed out that run of games where the form hasn't been great, sort of from Middlesbrough onwards, really. And we know that Middlesbrough, we were done by a bad decision. Same in the Stoke game. They had a dodgy goal, which shouldn't have been given. Yeah, I know all of this, but still, we lost against Middlesbrough. We lost against Stoke. We lost against Leicester. We lost against Plymouth. We lost against Huddersfield.
Couldn't beat Swansea, who played with 10 men for... The vast majority of the game.
Another one which you can't forget about. What do you put that down to? What is it that's changed from where we looked so bright? Like we looked, particularly after that Chef Wed game where we just decimated them early doors and then bullied them, really. We didn't get out of first gear. You know, from being so alive at that point, what's changed?
Mason Burstow.
game at Chef Wed, to be fair.
But you know what? In all seriousness, right? So there's a few things to unpick. But I was being tongue in cheek when I said that. But like we played that system that we've got with Trey Hume pushing inside, and we've played that all season, for the vast majority of games anyway. And you know, I actually made a note after about 10 minutes. I was like, this is the first time I've seen a left back being given a free role, because he was everywhere. He was in the centre midfield. He was over right back. Hume was everywhere on the pitch. And I actually think we're kind of trying to be too clever in that bit of it, because we, as you say, two full backs playing the proper positions, ideally playing on the proper sides, getting around on the outside of the two wingers who were playing on their wrong side, inverted commas, and cutting inside. So you've kind of got that bit to it. I wondered with Sealt whether that was to accommodate Hume doing that, so you formed a three when we're in possession and a four out of it, and also from corners, because on Saturday we had a ton of corners that we didn't do anything from, and tonight we had quite a few corners that we didn't do anything from, but still got on the end of a few of them. Like he won the header for the goal, so I wondered whether bringing him in was to get a bit of aerial strength in for set pieces, and you kind of live with the stuff he doesn't bring from a fullback position. But you know, as a, I actually thought he did all right, and I thought he looked relatively comfortable on the ball. But he's not a fullback. He's not going to bomb down the line, take people on, get round the back, and get crosses in. I think there was one time in the first half where Ashish sort of slipped him in to go to the byline in the box, and he just failed to keep it in allegedly. But I think the biggest thing is teams have figured us out. I actually don't think we're playing that much differently to what we were doing earlier in the season. But teams aren't allowing us space. You know, if teams saw what we did to Southampton, and Southampton are a bloody good side, they played way too open, and we took advantage of it. We've got the players who can take advantage of it if they're given space. But we are so easy to play against. All teams need to do, we've seen it in the last few games, haven't we? Sit back, let us have possession, let us lose the ball, which we, you know, for all the possession we have, it often ends up with us losing it, and then counter. And, you know, as early as the third minute, Huddersfield did that. You know, they got through, Patterson made a good save. And you could see exactly how they were going to play from the off. They didn't really change the game plan all game. We absolutely played in their hands. And, you know, there's got to be times of the game where we go to them, you have some possession, because we want to bring you out so we can counter-attack you, because we've actually got players who've got pace, who can run into space. But, you know, I feel sorry for the, you know, the likes of Roberts, the likes of Clark, Ashish tonight, Rusin, who's, you know, was absent completely tonight from the bench even. But I feel sorry for all of these attackers, because they're playing in such a constricted space. They're packed up against a deep-line defence and a midfield who's coming back, and they've got nothing to play in. And, you know, we can talk all we want about strikers, and I think, you know, there's still a really big argument for getting, you know, that Arsene Wenger fox-in-the-box type of striker who can pounce on loose balls and, you know, can sniff them out. Absolutely, I think that we're desperate for a player who can do that. But the strikers that we've got aren't all shite strikers. You know, they've got potential, they've got promise, they've scored goals in pre-season, they've scored goals elsewhere. There's four of them now, tries, and, you know, we haven't had a game all season where we've gone, that striker was brilliant. Whether it's Tamir, whether it's Burstow, whether it's Rusin, whether it's Mayenda tonight, we haven't had one game where that striker's had a great game. You know, I bet you if you have a look through all of the match ratings, there's rarely a chance, or rarely a time rather, where our strikers have got 8 or 9 out of 10. Because we don't play in a way that sets the striker up, because we've got so much possession and the team's just sitting back. Now, we've got to figure out another way of playing, because at the minute, we might as well just not bother turning up and just give them 3 points or give them a point, because they're sitting back and we are so easy to play against. Now, unless we figure out another way of playing, we're going to really struggle, because, you know, you look at the next set of games that we've got. I'll go through them here, right? We've got Millwall away on Saturday. They're 19th in the table.
That won't be easy, though. You know, it's not a nice place to go.
Horrible place to go to, right? Mm-hmm. And you got, you know, bunch of young lads going there. Big test of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got West Brom at home, 5th. Leeds at home, 3rd. Away at Bristol City, who are 12th. Home to Coventry, who are 15th. Then away at Hull on Boxing Day, who are 6th. We've got a game at Rotherham after that. And you go, Rotherham, at the minute, they're right down there. That should be 3 points. How, like, last season we said that. Got turned over. The season before, we got absolutely turned over. That's not a place that we traditionally do too well at. Then you've got games against Preston, who are in the, you know, chasing the playoffs, Ipswich, and then Hull again. So that's our next 10 games or so.
And then Stoke, and then Middlesbrough.
And then Stoke, know, and Bury. Yeah. So, like, if we continue playing this way, you're looking at those games and go, what, you'd be lucky to get bloody 5 or 6 points out of those games at the minute, the way that we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a concerning prospect. Now, I would caveat all of that with saying that we kind of went through a bad run in February-ish last season, and we were looking at the fixture list and going, well, we've got West Brom away, they're doing really well, such and such, blah, blah, blah. And we actually went in a really good run of form against teams who were higher up, because they play out a bit more. You know, they're not going to just sit back, especially when they're playing at home and we're away. But, like, Leeds will come to our place and attack, you would have thought. West Brom will come to our place and have a go. So that could play into our hands the way Southampton did. So it's not necessarily writing them all off, but, like, if they've watched our recent games, they'll just go, all we have to do is sit back and spring them, because we'll get the chance and we'll get 3 points. And I actually, you know, it's going to be interesting to know what the board are thinking and what Speakman and Kirill are thinking, because, anyway, I think last season's success has probably heightened expectations that shouldn't have been heightened to a large extent, but that's, you know, gone now. They've got to be thinking, how long do we actually let this go? Because, you know, even in game, we're not seeing a plan B. We're not seeing changes that can alter things. So you're not getting a bit of hope that you can, you know, you have something that we can just change, and that'll be it. Because we've just been dogmatic in our approach, the way that we're playing, and we're not getting anywhere with it at the minute.
You're bang on. You're absolutely bang on with, you know, everything you've just said. It's undeniable just how disappointing this little run's been. I mean, to be honest, after Birmingham and then the international break, I was so positive about the result and just the fact that, right, we've got a little bit of a break. After the break, we've got some very winnable games. You know, to me, that was a chance to write off the little run of sort of, not necessarily just like bad results, but where we felt like we'd been done out of results, like Stoke, like I say, Leicester, Borough, where we felt like we'd been cheated a little bit. It was a really good chance to just sort of crack on. You know, look forward, not backwards. You know, I wasn't expecting to just walk over Plymouth, because I spoke to a Plymouth fan on the on our Twitter space on Friday Night Live, who I hadn't really realised this until I spoke to him, but told me all about how, you know, they're getting a lot of praise from other clubs despite the league position, about how great they've been playing against other teams. And you just look at the results, they've ran some good sides close to score goals. So I wasn't expecting to go there and turn them over. But we were just weak. We were weak. And then, you know, I can take that. You know, I kind of expect us to lose every so often. But this Huddersfield game, it wasn't the same. I said at the top, I'm really deflated off the back of this, because that's the first time in a long time where I've watched them and thought, I haven't got a clue what we're doing here.
No.
The plan on the pitch just isn't there. And, you know, we do have to highlight these things. Mowbray doesn't have a plan B at the minute. There isn't one there. Chucking four or five subs on at a time, it doesn't work. And to me, and you made a really good point, he's actually got a deeper squad to pick from than he's ever had. So it shouldn't be hard to remedy these things. But I think we're just so far down the rabbit hole with this style of play that when things go wrong, his answer isn't to try something different. It's to keep doing what we're doing, because we'll play our way out of it. We'll pick up, you know, we might beat Millwall and we will be having a very different tone of conversation, because that's the way it is. You know, your mood does swing on wins and losses. But as we sit here right now, I think it's very fair to point out what's going wrong. And to me, the striker thing does stick in my throat, because we had to listen to him bang on about Ross Stewart constantly last year in press conferences, not having him. If only I had a striker, if only I had a striker, if only I had a centre forward. Well, we got four. And you don't know what to do with any of them.
Yeah.
Because the team doesn't play for strikers. The team plays for Jack Clark and Patrick Roberts. One of them's very productive, doesn't always play well, but I'm quite fine with the way we play for Jack Clark. But Patrick Roberts on the other side isn't contributing. They can't get away from that. I wasn't expecting him to play tonight, because I felt like he hasn't done enough to warrant a start. He was terrible again tonight. And I love Patrick Roberts. He's one of my favourite players. I love watching him when he's in full flow. He's beautiful to watch. He's one of the best players I've ever seen in the Southern shirt when he's at his best. But he hasn't been at his best for a long time. And you've got to be ruthless. And I just think that he's dancing around some of these players a little bit. He finds it very easy to drop Ekwa. He finds it very easy to drop any of the strikers, because those are the players he drags in public. Those are the players that he will criticise. I've never heard him mention Patrick Roberts' form this season and be honest about it. I'm sure he's been asked questions and maybe skirted around a little bit. But I know he likes him, but I just think that everybody has to be a little bit more honest about it, and then maybe we'll find solutions. And behind closed doors, he could be, you know, be having very different conversations with the players, but I just don't get that feeling. I feel like there are some comfortable players in this team who aren't really at threat of their place, and I don't think he's ever going to just try something different. I don't think we're going to, like, to me, I was thinking, right, for this Huddersfield game, because I didn't think we played well for big parts of the Plymouth game, but there were aspects of it that were okay. But I'm thinking, right, Ekwa hasn't played well, totally agreed with the decision to drop him. I was thinking maybe move Job in alongside Dan Neil, play a more traditional central midfield pair in there. You have a number 10, bring Oshish in, bring in Mayenda up front, quite happy with that. But then the team has a bit more structure. You know, Huggins and Hume as fullbacks, I don't have a problem with, because we don't have a left-footed left-back at the minute, which is fine. So I'm thinking, right, Huggins and Hume, but their job has to be like wing-backs. Get forward. Give Clark and Roberts width so that when they do cut inside, they're not double-marked. And then we have that option to get the ball wide and cross it early. Everything tonight was slow and turgid and just knocking it round the box, 1 and 2 yard passes, 5 yard passes, moving it to the wing, moving it back inside, passing it into the centre midfield players, going back to the centre halves, going back around the box. It was just so easy to defend against. And now, after this run of results, where you've, like you say, you're just pointing out 5 defeats, a very disappointing draw at Swansea, what we should have really won.
And that could have been defeat, couldn't it? They missed the penalty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then beating Birmingham. That isn't a good run of results. So what are we going to do next? Like, I'm looking to Tony Mowbray now and saying, okay, you have to come up with some solutions now, because by the time we play Millwall, it'll be 2nd of December. A centre-forward still hasn't scored a goal this season. The style of play is suffering because for whatever reason we aren't playing to the centre forwards. We're not playing with width. So what are you going to do? Because Millwall will eat us up if we let them, because it's a hard place to go, as we've just mentioned. And then you're looking after that at West Brom and Leeds. I mean, I'd be happy with a couple of points out of those games because they're both good sides. But we've got to win at Millwall. So it's like, you know, your season can de-escalate and escalate depending on which way your results go very, very quickly in the Championship, because the points, there's very little between the teams really outside of the top two and the bottom two. There's very little between those teams. And I don't want to be in a position going into the new year where we're like looking down the table. And it's very possible if we don't find solutions. Like I say, it could all change on that Millwall game. We win at Millwall, and we are thinking positively. But like, I think now we have to draw a line in the sand, and maybe, you know, but by all accounts, Tony Mowbray took a long time to get back into the media room after the game, so he spent a lot of time in there with the players. And I'd love to have been a fly on the wall. But leading up to that Millwall game, there have to be some very honest conversations. And, you know, I appreciate that he's a man manager. He's very good with the players. I'm sure he's great to work with. But I think sometimes he's got to put his foot down, and he's got to be harsh, and he's got to be ruthless with his decision making. And that might mean upsetting a couple of people who we wouldn't normally upset. But I'm looking now at seeing some... We have to see a reaction against Millwall, because you just made a point before there. You know, the sporting director and the owner won't be happy with this. And if we go to Millwall and get beat, you know, people are going to be calling for his head. They already are, some people, and I don't agree with it yet. You know, at the end of the game tonight, we were booed off. I can't remember the last time that happened. Resounding boos. And again, I don't join in with those things, but I totally understand why it happened. I've seen these things flip very quickly at Sunderland, where you have a couple of bad results and it doesn't take long and people are on their backs and it can go very badly. So I just want to see a reaction on Saturday.
Oh, we need it. And, you know, the concerning thing is that we've got, what, travelling down to London. We're going to have no time in the training field to actually do anything differently. So it's all going to come from team selection. Like, going back to your point with Roberts, now I think this kind of potentially taps into, you know, why we persist with the style of play that we have, because, you know, it's the age of the squad, and, you know, potentially Mowbray doesn't trust them or think they can play in a different way in game and automatically to change things too much. And, you know, Roberts is one of the older players in the squad. He's 27 almost, you know, so he's one of the few who are really out of football and nappies, isn't he? So I think he sees Roberts' role on the pitch as a lot more important than just what he does with the ball. I think from a leadership point of view, and, you know, we don't know how big a personality he is in the dressing room, all that sort of stuff. But like, he's been a shadow of the player he was last season. And again, it's something that we've discussed before, but it's like, to me, it's Ahmad not being there because he had somebody close to him last season who could play off him, play, you know, one-twos, work space for him, drag defenders about. And, you know, he's often isolated. You know, he's often not got the ball with players around him, our players around him to pass to and work with. So I think we've kind of sacrificed a little bit of Patrick Roberts there because we haven't got somebody really playing. Because, like, Ahmad was often playing over on the right-hand side, wasn't he? He'd come over, almost play inside right channel, and him and Roberts were playing a lot, and there was all that space over on the left-hand side that we could flick it to and exploit. And now we're kind of just playing everything centrally. We're not trying to drag teams across to one flank. Everything's kind of there in the centre of the field, and, you know, the width isn't there because the fullbacks aren't overlapping. And I just think it's just not working, is it? But, you know, you go back to the striker thing, and it is frustrating. And we talked all last season about not having a striker. We've got four now, and we're not getting anything out. We're not getting the tune out of any single one of them. But, you know, do we have the wrong type of striker? Because the way that we play, we'd be better off with, you know, somebody like in the style of Charlie Wyke. I'm not saying Charlie Wyke to be categorical about this. I'm not saying get Charlie Wyke back. But, you know, that type of striker who can just stay on the last man, win headers, hold the ball up. So you've actually got an option to go along. Because at the minute, again, we're far too predictable. So teams can defend against us so easily. And if we can't spring it, like there was once in the first half, we went long to Mayender. He won a free kick. And Clark, that was a free kick that Clark got on target and the keeper saved. So, you know, we haven't got that Ross Stewart style of striker who will stay right through the centre. You know, there was one point within the first half, Meander was coming so deep onto the right-hand side, Mark Venus was shouting at him to get back in the centre, get up front, because he was coming to the ball. And again, you're then compacting the game and exactly playing into their hands, because we need to stretch to create the space. So, you know, the strikers that we have, you know, yes, I said earlier, we kind of need that poacher in the box to, you know, jump on things. That's more mentality than style of play. That's not necessarily a little player. That's having that instinct to know where the ball's going to drop, to see where the ball's going to drop and score. You know, to me, you've got Burstow, who's Hermia's probably taller than Burstow, but Burstow's played that role more often than not when we have played with a central striker who can be a little bit more aerial. But he's not a, you know, leap in the air, 6'5", flicked on type of striker. And, you know, they're few and far between, admittedly, but we kind of need somebody with a bit more physical presence up front to have that option, to have that plan B. And
yeah,
I actually think we start the season with it. Hamea started the season, for whatever reason, after one game, which he did all right in. He didn't do terribly in. He did all right in. Mowbray has completely outed him from the team. It, you know, he's slagging him off in press conference. And look, there might be some... I'm sure there is. Not might be. I'm sure there is valid reasons why Mowbray is doing it. I'm sure he's really frustrated with certain aspects of him and all that sort of stuff. But to me, you keep that stuff in-house.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know, what came first? Is it Hamea getting dropped from the team after playing one all-right game and then some problems start on the training field? Or were the problems on the training field there to begin with? Because I suspect it's probably the case that Hamea is not too happy with how he's being treated. And, you know, I actually don't blame him. So, you know, you've got this whole issue with the style of striker that we're signing. And, you know, it's a big thing. But, you know, is that the reason? I don't know. I think it's a contributing factor, but I don't think it's the sole reason. Because we can score goals. That's the thing. We're not relying on that striker to score us goals. We're not sitting here going, oh, we can't score, we can't hit the target. You know, as a team, we're capable of scoring goals. We proved it last season. We proved it at points this season. But it's actually the role that a physical striker who will lead the line will play in the team. And it brings something different. And we just haven't got that. And that falls on the recruitment. That's not Tony Mowbray. That's the recruitment. So I think there's a few bits that are all contributing to it. It's never a simple answer, is it?
No.
But as you say, Millwall on Saturday, it's... You know, it's not a must-win game, because I don't believe they are until you get to the final bits of the season where you know it's relegation or win or relegation or win or promotion. But it's a bloody important game, and it's going to be a very telling game. You know, and it could be a must-win game for Tony Mowbray, because I don't think it's time to get rid of him. I don't think it's time for a change. However, if we lose the next three or four games, or we only pick a point or two off in the next three or four games, we are deep in relegation form.
Yeah, he won't have a job if that happens.
No, so. And we need to see some signs that he's able to change it. And as I said earlier, like in-game, we're not even seeing in-game. It's not as if we're starting shit and then he's making a couple of subs, tweaking some tactics, and we're producing better performances. It's all flat. It's starting as we finish. Essentially, just with a random mix of players thrown in at the end, just for fun. So, it's. I'm concerned. I'm concerned for us for this season, and I'm concerned for Tony Mowbray. And again, I don't think it's. I'm certainly not saying we should sack him. However, I think he's kind of on a bit of thin ice, because the next three or four games have to yield 7, 8, 9 points. Mm. Well, not 9, but you know. we need to get some. I think 9 points would be a really good run out of those four games. We need to get some 7 or 8 points on the board, because otherwise this season, otherwise we're going to be fighting relegation. And it's as simple as that. Because if you look at the points gap between where we are and the teams down in the bottom 6 or 7, 8, it's not very great. You're talking about a couple of wins in 3 or 4 games' time. We could see ourselves down 17th, 18th, 19th, and it's going to be fun to see how it transpires, really, because it's we don't really want many more nights like this where we're pissed off and we haven't even talked about the game. And that shows you how important the result and the performance were, because we haven't gone through, like, you know, it's irrelevant. there's no point in dissecting goals and all that sort of stuff because it's the team. It's not individuals. It's the team and the club. There's something not clicking right now, and it needs to click as soon as possible, because otherwise, you know, there will be repercussions, I sense.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I wondered while I was at the game and coming out, have we maybe got a little bit too arrogant with just thinking we're going to... Because Tony Mowbray's basically said it, you know, we expected to go to Plymouth and win. I'm sure after this game he'll have said we expect to be beaten Huddersfield, which we do, but that doesn't mean you can become complacent and just walk out there and think we're just going to beat these tonight if we just do what we always do. Because as has been displayed, what we always do isn't working at the minute. And when you've got one very solid way of playing, teams are going to work you out, you know? Jack Clark, everybody knows how good he is, but if you put three players around him when he's got the ball, he's not going to be able to do much. And we have to have a way of working that out.
No, and absolutely.
The only thing I've noticed in recent times where we try and change that, and it's only really been in home games, but he'll put on Pritchard and he'll get Pritchard out on the left-hand side with Clark, but it doesn't give us any width. It's just another person for Clark to bounce the ball off,
yeah,
which is fine sometimes. I mean, it saves him from losing the ball. But I honestly think this situation with not having a right-back playing like a right-back, because when it's Hume, he's virtually on the wing, virtually in centre midfield, or playing as a centre-half. He doesn't ever play like a full-back anymore.
No.
And then we didn't play Huggins in this game. And I get your reasons, actually, for what you said about why he might have played Sealt. You know, he was involved in the goal we scored. Defending set-pieces and attacking set-pieces, having that height on the pitch will make a difference. But, you know, Huggins is one of the only players we've got in terms of, like, raw pace, who can just run at people with pace and maybe create things out of nothing. And I honestly think at the minute, just not having a left-back and a right-back who get past their winger and give width is one of the big reasons why the strikers aren't scoring goals, why we're not seeing goals out of nothing, not seeing quick goals happen, because we just don't have natural width. All I'm seeing from Sunday at the minute is 10s all over the pitch, passing the ball a couple of yards to another number 10, yeah, to another number 10. And then when it's not working, he brings on Bradley Dack and Alex Pritchard, and it's been Oshish in recent weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and these are all very similar players. So whilst he's got a lot of players to pick from, where's the width? And this is another thing, and people might laugh when they hear us say this, but I don't care because I'm talking about the lack of width. Where's Bennett?
Oh.
He's one of the only players we've got. He's got pace. He runs at his man. He gets him behind. Like, I would have loved to have had him as an option tonight to just try something different, because he's different to the players we brought on. Instead, it's Dak, who's been shit since he came in. He's done nothing, absolutely nothing. And Mowbray's constantly trying to justify why he was signed, because he was his signing. So he brings him on the pitch and he does nothing. You know, Pritchard's not really lit it up this season and not really had a proper chance or a run in the team, fair enough. But they're not going to change games. And I'm like, yeah, Bennett might not be perfect. He might be very raw, but he's different to them. And he can...
Yeah.
Tonight, we're screaming out for somebody like that. And if he'd come on and just run at his man and caused a bit of bother with his pace and his directness, we might have scored, but we didn't have the different option on the bench, despite having, you know, an embarrassment of riches at the minute in terms of the amount of options we've actually got. So that's what I need to see, is something just... We need to see something different. This is not working at the minute, and then we need to be able to change it when it isn't working.
But like, we have got a ton of options, right? And I said before, we've got a really deep squad, and pretty much everybody's fit. But as you say, the squad's actually overloaded with number 10s, players who will play in that attacking midfield role in the centre of the field. And, you know, if you look at our options on the wing, you know, we've kind of converted Barr to some extent as a winger, because we haven't got any other options apart from Bennett, who's... I think he was injured and ill, and whether he's still on the sidelines for that reason, I don't know. But like, as you say, he would have been a different option to come on. But we've got a lack of options out wide, and we've got a lack of options in the centre midfield, which is why Hume's coming into the centre midfield, because we haven't got enough there to play the way that we want. He's going in there for support and to try to work things. But, you know, we haven't got centre midfield players who we can switch Ekwa and Neil out for easily. And, you know, Ekwa's been, you know, under the spotlight. And again, he's not been in form for a couple of months since he came back from injury. I actually think he's probably still carrying an injury because he doesn't look right at all. Dan Neal's kind of got away with scrutiny over recent weeks. He hasn't been great either. I think he had a really good start of the season. And I think since he's come back after that Burrow sending off, I don't think he's been very good at all. But we've got nobody who can legitimately come into the centre midfield position in place of those two. So you kind of end up switching things around, dropping Bellingham back. And, you know, I'm still not sure whether Bellingham's a 10 or a 8 or a 6 or where he'll end up. But, you know, I think he's kind of gone off the boil, and that's completely understandable because he has played every game. So he needs a rest. And, you know, we've got a deep squad, but we've got a very slight squad in that central midfield area. And the wing area were overloaded in that central attacking bit of the pitch. And I think everybody expected Pritchard to leave on deadline day. And I'm sure they would have probably made moves to get him out quicker just to balance the squad up a little bit. But like Dak's been a complete failure. He's pointless. He's done nothing. And he doesn't affect games. So like he's a waste of space. But again, he's an experienced player who's probably adds value off the field. So it's there's a lot of things wrong, but like you're going into Saturday's game, right? What do you do? If you're Tony Mowbray, right, what do you do differently in that short space of time to change the problems that we've seen over the last few weeks? Because it's all fine to think, oh, well, it's an away game. They'll come at us and we can spring them. There'll be more space. But we saw at Plymouth, we saw at Swansea, we saw at Stoke. It doesn't work like that. And they'll have watched us. New manager. They'll be going, you know, all we need to do is just let them have the ball. They'll overcommit and we'll get on over the top of them.
Yeah.
And it's easy. So what do we do? Because I haven't got a clue.
Yeah. Well, I'm not... what do we do? What will we do? What would I do?
They're
very different things. Like, I've just mentioned Bennett. I would have him in the squad. I wouldn't start Patrick Roberts. I'd put it this way, right? If I feel like I'm picking on Roberts, and maybe I am in a way, but I know he's better than what he's given us at the minute.
I showed last season.
But yeah, but let's say that he's not Patrick Roberts and he's Jewison Bennett, and he's had 8, 9, 10, 11 games or whatever on the bounce, playing on the right. Would he be playing at the minute the way he's playing? He's not.
Well, you've seen the way he treats Russon, treats Tamir. Like they're out after one or two bad games. Bad game in both the cases, actually. Poor games. Actually, poor games, average games. So if for certain players, if they don't deliver immediately, he's getting rid of them. For people like Patrick Roberts and a few others, a couple of others, he'll stick with them, I guess, because they've proved they can do it. And that's a big difference, isn't it? Roberts is proven. We know he can do it. We know how important he was last season. And, you know, even if he's playing terribly, there's a chance he can cut inside and whip one in the top corner. So he's got that in his locker, whereas potentially other players aren't shown they've got that in the locker in training.
It's what you do. It's what you do and what. Yeah, I mean, the key words you used there when you asked that was short space of time. He's got no time to change it around. He's not going to do that. So we'll put out a team which is much the same, I imagine. I'm guessing Huggins will come back in for Sealth. That seems an obvious change to make. Ekwa maybe in for Bellingham and push Oshish up. I don't know. I'm just looking at it and I'm not really sure. I think he might give Burstow a shot up front instead of Mayenda, possibly.
That could be a change.
Yeah, just because, you know, we've done the rounds now. Everybody bar him has had a start.
Again, it's a lottery, isn't it? We're talking about team selection the same way we're talking about subs. We'll try it, see if it works. You know, we're not going to change tactics. We're not going to change the approach that we have. And I just don't see how we can do it. Hey, you know, we'll probably win 4-0.
I hope so, because it'll improve our mood a great deal. And I'm sorry to anybody listening to this who's just thinking, bloody hell, what's wrong with these two? But, like, it's hard not to feel this way after such a flat performance. And, you know, I think everything we've said has been very valid, and I'm sure people would agree. You know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, unfortunately. We've had a couple of really bad results.
But you know what, Gav? It's not the flat performance tonight, because if that had come off the back of three or four great or good performances where we got a couple of wins and a draw, you go, okay, that was just a bad day. It was a shit night. Write it off, right? And you can do that on an individual game. You can't do that on 7 or 8 games. And we've kind of been building to it. Now, the concern I have is Tony Mowbray, as a manager, has his post-January collapse, doesn't he? His New Year collapse.
That was what we were told. Yeah, and it didn't happen last year, thankfully.
It did, to a small extent. You know, I think we had.
I think we had that run into the Stoke game,
didn't we? We lost at Rotherham, lost at Stoke, lost at home to somebody, I think. And we kind of went through four or five games where we'd lost four and drawn one or something. And we picked it back up with, again, a run of games against trickier teams on paper, Luton and West Brom and people like that, Sheffield United. I think we got beat against Sheffield United, but we put in a good performance, which kind of spurred us on to the rest of it. But it's like, this has got to stop. We've got to turn this run of results around, and you know, we can dissect performances all we want, but ultimately, as we know, it's results that matter. And you know, we can talk about young players and we need to give them a chance and need time and all that sort of stuff. Absolutely, right? However, they're playing championship football, playing senior football, men's football, and that's how they're going to be judged. And ultimately, that's fine if we're getting results. If we're not getting results, we need to switch it around a bit. And look, it's not all, I'm certainly not writing it all off. I probably sounded incredibly, or both of us sounded incredibly down and pessimistic and not really knowing where the next point's coming from. And as I say, we might turn it around and win 3 or 4 nil on Saturday, and you know, let's hope we do. And it's certainly not writing the whole thing off, because I think as a club, we're on the right track, we're taking the right direction, have the right approach to things, all that sort of stuff. It's a short-term thing. It's actually on the field, short-term thing that we need to address. But again, when you look at the fixtures that we've had, the fixtures coming up, the results that we've had over the last couple of months, it's not good enough. Like, it doesn't matter if you've got a load of young players in or not, it's not good enough. And we need to address it. And I think a lot of it, in fact, most of it, I would say it's 80% on Tony Mowbray and 20% on the squad, on the recruitment. But I think the vast majority of responsibility right now lies firmly at Tony Mowbray's door, and it's absolutely up to him to fix it. And as I say, I think if he doesn't fix it in the next month, then I doubt he'll be here for much longer. But look, I'm not saying, again, not saying sack him now, absolutely not. It's just
reality, isn't it? You know,
well, it is. If,
you mentioned it before, that the expectation for the club is for us to finish in the top six. If we keep losing games of football and we're heading further and further down the table, then they're just going to be left with a decision to make, and that's the way things are in football. And I'd love nothing more than for Tony Mowbray to just pull a load of good results out of the hat, remind everybody why he's done such a brilliant job while he's been here, because he has. There's no getting away from it. I think he's been a great manager for us, and I would love nothing more than for that to happen. But it's just a fact of life that, you know, if we get beat at Millwall, if we get beat off West Brom and Leeds, which are very possible because they're both good sides, then people are going to be saying, right, this isn't good enough. This needs to change now before we continue to slump. And that's it. Let's address the slump. The best chance to do that is on Saturday with another game. You know, with the relatively quick turnaround between the two games, it's not like we've got to sit and dwell on it. You know, they're going to have probably a day to recover tomorrow. They won't train a great deal. They'll not be out on the grass. I imagine they'll be travelling Friday because we're in London.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no time to change anything drastically. There's no time to do anything, really. All there is time to recover and travel. So we haven't got a lot of time to think about it, really. We've just got to move on to the next game. And like I say, I'm hoping that by the next time people hear me talk about this and hear us talk about the next performance, that we're a lot more upbeat. It's just impossible to sit here tonight and feel anything other than the way we do, because, you know, it wasn't great. And we've talked for over 50 minutes now and we haven't really went into the game, and I don't want to, if I'm honest. I don't want to talk about Plymouth. I don't really want to talk about Huddersfield. I'm quite glad that we've been able to just sit and talk about the general feel of the way things are, because, you know, we're not daft. We can see what's happening in front of us. And let's hope the players and the manager feel the same and, you know, manage to address it quickly. And they've done that a lot over the last couple of years, where we've had bad runs, we've had bad results, where you're going, bloody hell, where we're going from here. And then all of a sudden we pull it out the hat. And it wouldn't shock me if we beat Millwall, West Brom and Leeds, because, I still think we're a brilliant team. I think we're capable of beating anybody. And we can't we can't just, you know, make drastic, give drastic opinions and viewpoints on the back of, you know, what feels like a very, very sore result tonight. We have to take a wider view on it. And the wider view is, as whilst we've had a great season to date, you know, generally, we could have done better. And we should be doing better, really. I think we are better than where we're at the minute. And, you know, the Championship's a tough league. Everybody's capable of beating everybody. But we're in 11th place. We're below Cardiff and Preston and Hull. And I think we're better than that. And that's no disrespect to those teams. I just think Sunderland are better than that. We've got better players than to be sat 11th in the table. You know, and teams below us are going to start picking up points. I don't expect Watford, Norwich, Coventry to be right down the bottom end. Swansea, Stoke, Birmingham. There's some good teams below us. You know what I mean? So we've got to just turn it around. And we can only think of the next game. Millwall are the next opponent. They're not a brilliant team, but they're a horrible team to play against. And I hope that this is a wake-up call to those players. As if to say, you're getting very comfortable, some of you, and we can't just expect to turn up. As young players, you can't just expect to turn up and just walk over teams because you've got better players than them, as have been demonstrated. You know, the team in 20th have just beat us, and the team in 21st have just beaten us. So you need to sort it out. It's as simple as that.
It is. And, you know, if you're looking at us on paper, Millwall has had a look at their last few results at home. They got turned over 3-0 by Coventry at home. They got beat 2-1 off Blackburn. They got beat 1-0 off Southampton. They drew 2s each against Hull. Got turned over 3-0 against Swansea. You know, a lot of their points this season have come on the road. So, you know, they're not in the best of form. And again, if the situation was reversed and you've got us playing at home in terrible form against a team who's, you know, had a couple of bad results, you fully expect that team to come to your place and get 3 points, don't you? So, you know, if we can start the game well, and again, you know, it might be the case that Millwall's situation plays in our hands. They come out and attack because they need to get the home fans on side, which they will. They probably will. They'll probably start off really strongly and going at us because they need to get the crowd up and behind them. And hopefully we can, you know, play into the space that they leave and actually do what you know, teams have done to us recently, where, you know, you're exploiting the space that they've left and get in. And, you know, that suits us. That suits us. But as I say, teams know how to play against us. So Millwall's manager will be caught in between a tactical decision and almost an emotional one in terms of, you know, do we actually play tight and let Sunderland have possession, which it'll probably piss the crowd off, but it'll give us the best chance to get a result. Or will we go at them, which will get the crowd on side, but it might leave gaps for them to exploit. And, you know, you might be taking our lack of confidence as a sign to go out, attack, get an early goal or two, and that's the game done. So it'll be intriguing to see how Millwall approach it, because I think the fact that they're at home actually plays in our hands, because if they were coming to the stadium light, it wouldn't really be a game that you're looking forward to too much.
No. Anyways, got all that off our chest, didn't we?
There's a bit of positivity there to finish with.
Yeah, I'm just struggling to feel positive, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure I'll feel a little bit better in the morning after a good night's kip and all the rest of it. Cheers, mate. Thanks for that. I did really enjoy that chat. I hope people listening did too.
It's
because
therapeutic at the very least, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Cathartic is the word I normally like to use. I usually use the words cathartic whenever Sunderland lose. But, you know, it was cathartic. So cheers, mate. Thanks to listeners. If you've managed to last to this point, we've got the Millwall game at the weekend. So we'll be chatting about that afterwards. And, of course, the start of this December's Christmas fundraiser for the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen will be kicking off on the 1st of December. So you've got that to look forward to. We've got loads coming up over the month. Like I say, it would be lovely if we could marry up that positivity that normally comes around with the fantastic efforts that you all give in fundraising for the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. If we could marry that up with some good results, then happy days. We'll all be talking about better times. So yes, let's look forward to Millwall. We'll see you then. And we'll catch you after the game on the podcast. Yeah.
Thank you. it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.